Yeah, I think I would like to make give a testimony also. It will be shorter than Brother Eddie's. My son, he joined this camp when he was only 9 years old. That time there were not too many Chinese. And he stayed with the Volvo Girls boys, and they make fun of him, use this gesture, because Chinese eyes are like this way. Not only that, Albert, especially Albert. Yeah, when he took the pictures, one of the boys, the Wovogo boys, he pulled the negative out from the camera. Albert was in very bad temper, you know. So he stood up, tried to punch him. But Spirit stopped him. No, he shouldn't. Then he quieted down. And then later on, he was so angry about this person. But God talked to him again. No, you don't have to be angry. You need to forgive him. So he said, then I come to God. I said, yes, Lord, I will forgive him. And this is the testimony of this 9-year boy when he came back to our church. He stood in front of us. He gave this testimony. That's more than 30 years ago. That time, Brother Gordon, yeah, Karen, also Sister Karenai, and Brother Edwin, and all those people were around. So we think that God's work should be like that. But 2 years ago, we have a little girl from our church. Her father passed away in June, and she was totally down. But she came up to the camp during the summertime. Here, God met her, filled her with the Spirit. She was totally changed. So what I try to say is, yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. There's no change in Jesus. One day everybody will be gone here, but God still will work in this place. He's still working among those children. We see the changes when they come back. It's God's work. So we wanted to encourage each one of us. He reigns wonderfully. He knows what he's working. And we just trust him and pray for the place. My wife this morning, she gave me a list. He gave me the list of the names, the ministers through the years who are now in heaven. And sure, we miss them. We miss their ministry. But the Holy Spirit is still here. Jesus is still here. He is still working. God is going to use different people at different generations. So we just trust him and move on. God will help and bring his presence to our young people. And we see that happening. Every year, our people are different. That's why every year we send our people up, try to be trained, come up here to seek the Lord. And also they can learn, really be saved and filled by the Spirit. This work is still going on. At least we can tell, we can testify that. So we thank God for what he is doing, is still doing, and will continue to do. Okay, that's my testimony. Yeah. This morning, I think I wanted to share one topic, walking with God. When I was preparing this message, I thought, why should I talk about this? Everybody here knows this topic. We have heard this thing through the years. Everybody can teach, can preach. What should I say? What can I say? But God still put the burden in my heart, so I have to obey. We may not say too much, but I like to bring up some of the scriptures. We just go over those and let himself to speak to us. to remind us what this is all about. Where are we? What God wants us to go? So that's what I have in my mind this morning. I just try to share this topic. And I think we're going to start with Genesis 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we will not read everything, but I want to thank Alista. She gave me the last one or two camp notebooks so I could put down those English scriptures here so I don't have to bring two Bibles with me. So we can see chapter 5 from verse 1 all the way to 24. But we don't need to read it. I just bring up a few passages. First, from the first one, verse 1. When God created man, he made him in likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them. So when God made us, made Adam, he made him in likeness of God. And God blessed them. So this is what it was started with. Then we see in Genesis chapter 1 or 26, there God gave everything to Adam. So let him to rule over all God's creatures. So he's in authority. He's in dominion. God trusted his creatures and his rule. And then the verse chapter 3, verse 8. Here we see that God was walking in the garden. So if we look at those verses, we can see. In the beginning, Adam was created in God's likeness. God blessed them. God turned over his creature under his rule. And God walked among them. God walked with them. So this is what God originally intended for the Adam and his generations to come. But something happened, we know, because Adam sinned, disobeyed God. And then something happened. What happened after that? And we can still continue with chapter 3 and verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the song of the Lord. They hide from the Lord God. First thing they did when God came over, tried to have a fellowship with them, God tried to walk with them, they dare not to meet God. They hide God because they have sinned. So this first thing, they lost the fellowship, communion with God. And they hide away. So the life of walking with God is lost that time. Then we see chapter 5, verse 3. When Adam lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, after his image. So, the second thing we see, first God made us in God's likeness, in God's image. When Adam sinned, we see what happened. All his generations, they were in likeness of Adam, in his image. So they lost the image of God, the likeness of God. So this happened. The second thing happened. Then we see from the chapter 5 what the life of Adam's generation afterwards. So through the verse 4 to 27, I think we can see there's a pattern of Adam's generation. What kind of a life they were in. We can use a general pattern as a man, he lived, let's take it for example in 30 years. After 30 years, he had a son. Then after the son was born, he lived another 30 years, so he can bring more sons and daughters, and he have to raise them up. Altogether, he lived 80 years. 30 years, he got the first son, and after the first son, he had more sons and children for the next 30 years. Then after that, he take 20 years retirement. So then he got a total 80 years. After that, then what happens? Then he died. The same thing repeating all the way through it until now. So the person, the people without God, or a person sinned and hiding from God, this is Adam's generation, the lifestyle of what it is. There's no hope. There's no purpose. There's no meaning. They don't know what they do. They just repeat the same cycle, one generation to another generation. This is definitely not what God intended for his creature, the man. So, what happens? There's, when we come to the verse 21st, chapter 5, we come to this, we see a difference. There's something happened, which is totally different from this pattern. Here, it says, when Enoch was 65 years old, Methuselah, I don't know how to pronounce, that's a Chinese way, huh? Methuselah was born. You learn some Chinese from me. And verse 22nd, Enoch walked with God after the birth of Methuselah 300 years, and had other sons and daughters. Here is the difference. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. And so total in verse 23, so all the days of Enoch was 365 years. So if we go by the same pattern at this time, he should have said, then he died. But no, the Bible says, the next verse, he said, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So there's a totally different thing happened to this person, Enoch. After this year, he's supposed to die, but somehow he was taken away. And he was not. Nobody can find him. Because why? Well, because God took him. So this is a person, Enoch, he walked with God, and this is what happened. God took him. And this is a so special case, extremely different from all the other generations. The only difference was he walked with God. Everything else is the same, but God took him. So we see all through this darkness of Adam's generation, there is one exception. When the person walked with God, it will be different. God would take him away. So that's what happened in this old time. What Bible, why the Bible wanted to list this, or record this? Here is a mind of God, or we can say God's desire, God's purpose of having us. He wants us to walk with him. So, there's a similar passage in Hebrews. Since we are in the Hebrews, we can go to Hebrews chapter 11 and 15. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Sorry. Here it says, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he didn't experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Here, tells us something here. Enoch became one of the heroes of faith. When you compare him with any other ones, you don't see there's much faith in him, or not too much. You can list them. But here's one thing. By his faith, he walked with God. Because he walked with God, God was pleased. Because God was pleased, God took him away. And this faith in walking with God made God so happy with him. So God took him away. In here, I think I'd like to share a couple of points. First, the walking with God is a life of faith. Without this faith, really we cannot walk with God. And here's something that we believe in our faith. First thing, when there's a sin, there's no way we can approach God. When there's iniquity, we cannot walk with God. So here's a verse in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. I think yesterday when Brother Eddie talking about the Mount of Sinai, there was a fire. God is a God of fire. When the people sinned, they cannot approach him. Not even to the mountain, at the lower part of the mountain. You cannot approach God. When people are in sin, there's no way we can walk with God. He will hide from us. He will hide his face. He will not hear us. Our sin has separated him. Actually, the sin has separated us from God. It's not God's fault because of our iniquity. So we cannot come to this holy God. And then, how do we do about this sin? I think Jesus has provided a way for us. He died on the cross. He shed his blood, and his blood washed us away. Because of the shedding of blood, there's forgiveness. So God forgive our sin. He cleanses us all iniquities, so we can become clean. No other way can clean us. No other way we can get the forgiveness except God's own Son come and die for us on the cross. There's no other way. The price is high, it's very high. So we cannot think that we approach God, this is a simple thing, or we can take it easy or take it for granted. We shouldn't. God gave all he had, his only begotten Son, to die for us, to separate himself from his Son. Let him suffer. Let him be punished. Let him be judged, so that we can come back to God again. So the first thing we have to believe the blood of Jesus bring us forgiveness, wash us clean. So now, we are like a righteous man. We can come to God. We can pray to him. We can approach him. Not only by the blood of Christ. Also we see that in Hebrews, it talked about it, there's a new and a living way. There's a new and a living way. Let us to go into the holiest. Before we can go to the holiest, you have to rent the veil. Jesus died on the cross. His body was broken for us. When he died, the veil was rent. So the way now is opened. God created this way. God opened this way. All because his Son. what he has done on the cross. So now the way to his presence is here. We have to believe this. Sometimes we talk about waiting upon the Lord. Sometimes I heard people, they say, we just don't know what's this all about. I couldn't feel God's presence and so forth. It's not only feeling. There is a face. Without this face, we cannot come to God. Without what Jesus has done on the cross, there's no way we can wait upon God in his presence. No way. The way is not opened yet. We have to believe what Jesus has done on the cross. So this is the belief we have. Not only so, we believe that God is ready to receive us. When we come to him, God will receive us. There are so many things in the Bible talk about this principle, this idea. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, God said, I will dwell in them. I will dwell with them or dwell among them. And I will walk in them. I will walk with them. I will walk among them. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. So he talks about God wants us. No, God wants himself. To come to us, to dwell in us, to walk among us. That's his desire. This is in God's heart. He wanted to come to be with us. So there's another verse in the James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It seems like that God is ready. I'm here. Whenever you come near to me, I will come near to you. God is ready. His son, he gave his son prepared the way. And he is waiting for us to come. Just come. And there's an Old Testament verse too, like Jeremiah 29, 13 or 14. And ye shall seek me and find me. When you shall search me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. Here God says, I will be found when you search me, when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. All those verses we can see. God said, I will, I will, I will. It's so clear. God wants to be with us. So start from Genesis also. During Genesis, we see when Adam was sinned, God asked, where are you? God started looking for them. God missed the fellowship with Adam. And then through the history of Israel, there's a tabernacle, there's a temple of God. There's always a place, the holiest of all. God sets his presence there. He wants to speak to us through in there. So all the history, God wants us to be part of him. He wants to be part of us. When Jesus came to this earth, one of his name was Emmanuel. God be with us. God wants to be with us. When he finished this salvation, he went back, and then the Holy Spirit came in. Where is he? Inside us. Still, God always wanted to be us, part of us. He wanted to be near with us. So we have this faith. When we come to him, we know God's heart want us to come to him. And we know he will be with us. When we seek him, he will be found. On the basis of what Jesus has done. So this is such a wonderful salvation. We really thank the Lord for this. Now when we come to the to the New Testament. In these old times, there was only Enoch, one person who walked with God. But now, what Jesus has done, accomplished, every one of us can live the same life. Each one of us can walk with God. And this is what we are. And this is the salvation God provided for us. So now I just like to bring a few points from the Hebrews 11:5. There it talked about, by faith Enoch was taken from this life. I know in the Bible, Enoch was one of the person God took him. Who else God took him? There was another person, Elijah. God took Elijah away. Now if you look at those two persons, Elijah was the greatest prophet. There's big faith. His prayer was so effective. When he prayed, the rain came. When he prayed, the rain stopped. Either way, or the other way. But when he prayed, God sent the fire come down to or burned all the sacrifices and the woods and the stones and the dust. So, and he killed those prophets of Baal, right? Yeah. So you can see there's a person, such a powerful man of God, with all the authority, with all the power, with all the gift. There's so many miracles he had performed. He can even raise a dead person. That's Elijah. Look at Enoch. I don't see anything. There's nothing. But those two were taken by God. If we say Enoch was taken by God because God pleased him, and God was pleased by Enoch because Enoch walked with God, can we say that God took Elijah because God was pleased with Elijah? And what did Elijah do? He performed all those powers, all those ministries, all those big things. I think God liked both of them to a point that he has to take them all home. And this tells us something, that God can create you as Elijah, God can create me as Enoch, but God will be pleased with us either way. I remember one of our sisters in church, she loves the Lord very, very much. She served in every area that she could. And she attended all the meetings. She gave generously to God's work and went to the missions and so forth. But one day she said, I still don't feel fulfilled. I feel there's emptiness. I'm not satisfied with what I'm doing. So this person may be thinking, I should be like Elijah. If I can have his power, I can do his work, really do something to this earth, to this world, or for God, maybe I can feel more fulfilled. She was not satisfied because she is not Elijah. But there's another person, that's in 1997, the first time we went to China, to Manchuria, to minister to the churches there. And one day this sister took us to the church meeting. And on the way to the church, she told some stories. She was one of the two sisters started to knock on doors to preach the gospel to people. Slowly God gave them more and more co-workers. In 4 to 5 years, the time when we went, they had 60,000 members. And there are so many meeting places they have to take care of. And she said, I wanted to quit. I couldn't do anymore. I'm dried out. I don't have any strength. And to a point, I don't feel fulfilled either. I'm weak. Couldn't go it alone. So we see there are two type of people we can see. One is without those big ministry, and she wants to be like that. There's someone, she had a good ministry. God used her so greatly, but she's still not satisfied. She feels so dry. She doesn't have anything more, no satisfaction, no fulfillment. What's the real problem? I think for this sister, she should see that she is not Elijah. For this sister, she should see, she should learn like Enoch. If today Elijah can walk with God, I think God will be double happy. But not every one of us will be like that. Most of us, I think we are Enoch. We don't have the power, we don't have the gifts, we don't have this, we have nothing. But there's only one thing, we raise children. And every day we make bread for them. And do the everyday life. But if we can walk with God moment by moment for those years on this earth, God will see us, God will be pleased by us, just like God was pleased by Elijah. I think God likes both of us. So don't try to be anybody else. When we start to compare, you will come down very low. So, this is the first thing I like to share. God took Elijah, God took Enoch. God was pleased with either one, or God pleased with both. And we can be Enoch. So don't try to be Elijah. If you are or Elijah, hope you can walk with God, then there's no problem. We'll all be set. Now, there's a second thing. Also in the Hebrew 11:5, he talking about that Enoch did not see death. Enoch did not experience death. I just wanted to quickly give a personal testimony. In 2010, I had a little problem with my heart, irregular heartbeat problem. And to 2011, we came to the camp. After camp, we went to China again to minister to the other places. And during that trip, almost to the end, I caught a cold combined with irregular heartbeat. It got me. So to the last stop, the last meeting, I couldn't go. So we were staying at the place. And that time, I was so weak. And couldn't do anything. Couldn't walk, couldn't get out of bed. So she had to make sure that I was still breathing that time. So then we came back to the state. And the situation didn't improve. Instead, it getting worse. So to a point, sometimes I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't take one deep breath. Like now we can breathe, right? Easily. That time I just couldn't. Especially when I lay down, try to sleep. You feel that you can only take in this much air and stopped here. You try to get more, you don't have the strength. They call the shorter breath. I ended that condition for so long. I just couldn't have enough strength to breathe. The heart was so weak. So to a point that sometimes my heartbeat was only about 30, lower 30. Usually I was at 80. My blood pressure dropped down maybe 40 over 60, this range. Later on I learned if people enter this condition, you should send them to ICU. ICC is an inter-county connector. That's Marion, that's a highway. So that's ICU. You don't even have to go to ER. That's later, the doctor told me that. And you know, the doctor sent me to do all the different a test. They found out my heart was functioning well. The structure was fine. There's nothing the doctor can do. So he said, I am puzzled. I don't know what's wrong with you. The only thing you can do, maybe you just rest as much as you can and try to walk 3 times a week, 20 minutes each time. Okay, I tried to do that. But to the later part, you just couldn't walk a distance. I even couldn't go up to my bedroom upstairs without stopping several times to take some breaths. So it was very, very weak. That time, somehow, during those times, God taught me a couple lessons. I never learned that before. First lesson, I couldn't receive any help from anywhere. I couldn't get enough breath, air in. The only thing I can do that time was, Lord, give me this breath. Give me next breath. So every breath, I have to pray, take from Him. So we taught about the abiding life, branches and vines and so forth. Doctrinally, we are abiding in Him. Positionally, in salvation, we're part of Him. All those we can preach. But somehow I never experienced the physical abiding. And during this time, somehow, I have to abide. There's no other way. So I start to, by faith, I take every breath from Him, every step, and especially every week, we have regular meetings 4 times. I have to continue to preach. I have to go to all the meetings. So every meeting, every time, it was a struggle. But during those times, learn to abide in Him. Just take every step, every strength, every breath from Him. So this lesson I learned. So sometimes, I guess, when you preach something, God will let you learn also. I want you to experience that. And this is true. This is the first lesson I learned. Physically, abiding in Him, taking my life, strength, my breath, everything from Him. And the second thing is, during this time, many times I felt I was near to death. Because if you couldn't breathe, and you can only take this much air in, and then you don't know what's next will come in or not come in. So during those times in the evening, my wife put her fingers underneath to check if I was still breathing for a period of time. I know she was under pressure too. But that time, God also so graciously led me to overcome this near-death kind of a situation. Because we live constantly in His presence, we know He's with us. I'm with Him. I'm in Him. He's with me. He's with me. I'm in Him. So I know I'm in His presence. So to a point, my heart starts to think different. Oh, now I can enjoy His presence in this earth by this way, only to this much. If I don't breathe, then I will go to the other place. I will have another degree, higher degree of His presence. What's the difference? No difference. So I thought, yeah, maybe Enoch is at all is not that special. The only difference is nobody can find His body. If God take me home, I just leave a body here. Everything else is the same, right? I have no fear about death. I didn't experience death. I didn't smell death. I have nothing about a death. I just know that I'm in Him. I'm in His presence. If I step over, that's into another presence. So this is how God brought me through. So Enoch didn't experience death. It didn't see death. And if we walk with God, when the time comes, really we do not smell death. We don't have to experience death. So I was so blessed during those times. And I learned this, and I started to tell people about this. And this is true. This is true. Okay. This is the second thing. We trust that God will take us, and we don't have to go through the death. We don't have to. And then there's another thing. I think we don't want to read it, the Bible. That's in Judah. Enoch, he prophesied the second coming of Christ. When you walk with God, God tells you something going to happen. And when Abraham was walking with God, God told him about what he would do about those cities. And when we walk with God, if God was with us, we are with him, all the way we walk together, sometimes God will tell you what he will do. I think I want to mention two stories. Once in 2007, our church co-workers, they found a property. They wanted me to take a look at. So one Sunday after meeting, my wife and I, we went to this place. As soon as we put our feet on this place, they're so clear that this is what God gave to us. And then God gave us a verse. I forgot the verse this morning. I checked with my wife. It's Deuteronomy 11:11. Okay. So, and then we went home. I wrote a letter because we didn't have time to meet with the trustees. Because the next day, we have to go to the China to minister. So I wrote a letter, put a few things what God put in my heart. First, go for this property. Second, pay in full, but don't borrow money from the bank. Three, continue to rent what we are renting. So I just sealed the letter, give to the trustee. So I asked them, say, maybe you should pray, to look at the place and pray, and had a meeting so you can talk about, see how God leads you. When you come to the end, open my letter, see how I was led. So they had a meeting, they prayed, and at the end, they look at my letter, that's what God lead them to. And God gave them the same verse that God gave to me when we were underground. So God spoke to us. When we walk with him, really want to know what he will do. And there's another thing that's about myself. That's in 2013. That's this year. In the early February, I was still not well. After Sunday preaching, I sit in the front pew, spend some time to recuperate, try to get some breath, and spend some time waiting on the Lord. And during that time, I didn't think anything. I didn't have anything in my mind. Then pop up an idea. Stop one of your blood pressure medication. I don't understand because I have no knowledge about the drugs. I don't know what he will do or not do. So I just obeyed him. The second day I stopped the medication which I've been taking for the last 20 years. This, nothing will cause any suspicion to my doctor or to myself because I didn't know. So I just obeyed it the second day, the third day, and one day somehow I took one deep breath without any problem. I was so happy. God let me out of this problem. Because I don't know, because this medication gave me 3 years hard time. But during those 3 years, God really helped us to go through. But we know that in his presence, walking with him, he will take care of us, give us enough grace. It's sufficient for us to go. In last year, that's 2012, our church was building a new building. At the same year, my mother got cancer, and the church ministry is still going on, all under this pressure, but I know God's been with us. He walked with us, we walk with God, even though through all the pressures, He sustained us and let us come out. So this is another thing I'd like to bring up, which is God will speak to us, will lead us when we walk with Him. Because if we wanted to walk with God, if God wanted to go this direction, we always wanted to follow Him, we willingly wanted to go, He would tell us the next story is go to Tom's house. So, we just go. There's another thing I'd like to share, that if we walk with God, there's joy unspeakable. Yesterday, Brother Eddie already read this verse. It says, "Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." I think everybody who has been walking with God will understand what this is all about. The joy this world cannot give. When we're walking with Him, we have close communion with Him. It's so nice, so sweet, so happy. I think we all understand that. We experience that. I just wanted to mention one testimony. One of his sisters was attending our Saturday morning meetings. And has been a Christian for many, many years. And in that morning, we shared that we wanted to open our mouths wide to God. He will fill us. So we said, you should open your mouth, say what you have. Don't just use your heart. Just don't close your mouth. And within your heart, you say, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Open it up. And she obeyed. So on her way home, she was driving inside the car. She started to open the mouth. She said, "Lord, I praise you. Lord, I love you." Few sentences out, God's Holy Spirit filled her. Inside the car, she was crying. She was laughing. She was so happy. And that's how it is. When we walk with God, don't treat it as such a mysterious thing. Just like you walk with your friend alongside with you. Talk to Him. Yes, we use our spirit to commune with Him. But our God is a spirit, but He also has a personality, which means He can understand, He can feel just we do. Share, talk. He speaks to us through His word, and we can speak to Him with our words. And this way you can just commune. This is wonderful. So this is another good thing. When we walk with God, we're going to have joy unspeakable, full of glory. Yeah, let's go. So, I think I just wanted to stop here and mention a couple of things around this topic. First thing is, I'm saying to myself, you know, in our fellowship, we talk about waiting upon the Lord, abiding in Him, be filled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, waiting upon God and walk in God's presence and so forth. We talked so much and we heard so much to a point. We thought we were already in it. And therefore, we do not pay enough attention to really go into it. That's sometimes I feel in my heart. In our church, we teach the same thing. But not too many people really enter in. Why? Because I know it, but I don't go it by faith. Or I do not consciously try to walk with God moment by moment. This is something we have to go in by faith. And that's something we wanted to repent sometimes myself. Yeah. So we want to treasure this. This thing is not a simple thing or just a regular normal talk. It's a real life. The second thing I want to mention is, that's Hebrew 2. He says, "How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?" When we think about how God has paid the price, gave his son for us. At the end, God wanted to recover us back to his original creation, the way he created the man, the relationship between God and us, which is the fellowship, the walking in our midst, walking in our life. And this is a great price that God has paid. If we neglect such a salvation, how could we escape? I think it is a serious thing. If we haven't heard, God will not treat us the way that God will treat us. If we know we heard, we just ignore it. So let God help us to take all the teachings we received, go into it one by one. We heard maybe 10 teachings. If we can really go into one, you will be led into the others, because we know if this one is true, then the others are true too. Then we can go in and experience one more, more, more. Yes, I know people will say, you guys are the what? Mystics, or so mystics. Yeah, that's the 16th century stuff. No, that's from God's word. He tells us this. He wants us to go in. There's no time difference. He's the same all the time. So we want to go into this. The last thing I'd like to share is, let us hear God's calling. Where are you? From the beginning all the way through the ages until now, maybe even today, he's still calling us. Where are you? God is waiting to walk with us. He wants us to come to his companion. He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to commune with us. God wants us to come to him. Yes, we have a lot of ministry to do, a lot of things to do. Yes, we have to do. But while we are doing that, we wanted to walk with him at the same time. Don't just do it as you're doing something, but doing it as part of the whole thing. When we have this discipleship in our church, I was helping some of our young people, and the things we like them to learn is, no matter what you do, whatever you, wherever you serve, always keep yourself in him, for him, by him, to him. Forget about yourselves. Even though the work is there, but keep yourself in Jesus. Make sure that you are in him, in his presence, doing everything by him. Whatever I do is for him, to his glory. And then, when we walk with him, while we're serving, I think God will be very happy about. If we walk with God, we will please God. If our life is like this much on this earth, I can spend it in different ways. Why not let us spend the time that we have on this earth to walk in God, to walk with God, and make him happy, please him. This life is worth it to live if we walk with God. So I hope God will help us. There's nothing new, I think, but we wanted to be reminded. This is great salvation. We wanted to all enter in. God bless us.